The news for July 2008 is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month, the GLAST Gamma Ray satellite reaches orbit, super Earths may be more common than thought, and early genetic material found in a meteorite. The latest and most sophisticated gamma ray observatory, the GLAST satellite, was launched on board a Delta II rocket from Cape Canaveral in the USA on June the 11th. Although a NASA mission, parts of the instruments were built by institutes in France, Italy, Germany, Sweden, and Japan. 2 days after the successful launch, the telescope's two solar panels were deployed and rotated towards the Sun in order to provide the spacecraft with power. GLAST, or the Gamma Ray Large Area Space Telescope, has two main instruments, the LAT, or Large Area Telescope, and the GBM, or GLAST Burst Monitor, as well as smaller instruments used for alignment and tracking. Gamma rays are generated in very high energy events throughout the universe, and observing them can help us to understand these phenomena. Some of the things the science team behind the GLAST mission hoped to use the telescope to study are supermassive black holes, neutron stars, gamma ray bursts, and cosmic rays, as well as dark matter and the early universe. This mission follows up on work done by gamma ray instruments on board previous satellites, such as the Compton Gamma Ray Observatory, but GLAST is far more sensitive and is the first gamma ray observatory capable of surveying the entire sky in less than a day. Gamma rays are hard to study from the surface of the Earth because they are unable to penetrate through our atmosphere, so gamma ray telescopes must be sent into orbit. The Large Area Telescope will be capable of surveying the entire sky every 3 hours. The instrument itself weighs 3 tons with almost 1 million channels of electronics, but uses less power than an ordinary hairdryer. All the instruments and support systems are currently undergoing post-launch testing, with the first light results expected around 90 days after launch, and, as often happens with satellites, the mission will be renamed once operations begin. Since a planet was first discovered around another star in 1995, more than 270 exoplanets have now been discovered. Most of these have been large planets, probably gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn, in orbits very close to their parent stars, as these are the easiest planets to discover. Now, a team of astronomers using ESO's 3.6-metre telescope at La Silla in Chile have found a triple system of smaller, so-called super-Earths, around a star known as HD 40307. The smallest of these planets is only 4.2 times the mass of the Earth, and orbits its parent star in just 4.3 days. The group studied a large sample of stars using the HARPS instrument, a precision spectrograph capable of detecting the tiny perturbations in a star's motion caused by the motion of small planets in its orbit. HARPS is capable of detecting motions of as little as a few meters per second in a particular star. Another outcome of the observations, submitted to the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics, is that many more stars may have planets than had previously been thought. The astronomers discovered a total of 45 candidate planets, with masses below 30 Earths, and orbital periods shorter than 50 days. From their observations, they estimate that maybe one star in three supports planets like these. Since planets close to their parent stars in short orbits are easier to find than those with longer periods, further away from their star, it is probable that there may be many other planets present, says Stéphane Oudry of Geneva Observatory in Switzerland, one of the astronomers who carried out the study. For the first time, researchers have confirmed the extraterrestrial origin of a sample of material from a meteorite containing nuclear bases, molecules which are the precursors to the molecules which make up DNA and RNA, the building blocks of all known life. The findings, published in the June 15th issue of the journal Earth and Planetary Science Letters, suggest that the raw materials to make the first DNA could have come from space. The team, led by Zita Martins from Imperial College London, discovered molecules including uracil and xanthine in fragments of a rock known as the Murchison meteorite, which crashed to Earth in 1969. They tested the nuclear bases found in the fragment for particular isotopes of carbon and found that they contained a heavy form of carbon which could only have been formed in space. Similar materials formed on Earth contain a lighter isotope of carbon. In the early stages of the solar system, the young Earth was bombarded by large numbers of meteorites. Dr. Martin says that early life may have adopted nuclear bases from these meteoritic fragments. Co-author Mark Sefton adds that, because meteorites represent leftover materials from the formation of the solar system, the key components for life could be widespread in the cosmos. Our project, Searching for Evidence of Gravitational Waves, has revealed new information about the most famous neutron star in the sky, the Crab Pulsar. Sitting in the middle of the Crab Nebula, the pulsar was created in a supernova explosion seen from Earth in AD 1054. The rapidly spinning neutron star, left over in the heart of the nebula, spins more than 30 times a second, sweeping a narrow beam of radio waves past the Earth each time it spins. The rotation rate of all pulsars decreases over time, but the Crab Pulsar is unusual. Its rotation rate is decreasing rapidly relative to most pulsars, says Graham Wone of the University of Glasgow, who led the study. This implies that the pulsar is radiating energy at a huge rate. The mechanisms suggested for radiating this energy away and causing the pulsar's rotation rate to slow include asymmetric particle emission, magnetic dipole radiation, and the emission of gravitational waves. The team used LIGO, or the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, together with observations of the Crab Pulsar's rotation rate from Jodrell Bank Observatory, to look for evidence of gravitational waves coming from the Crab Pulsar. The analysis of the data shows that no more than 4% of the energy loss can be accounted for by the emission of gravitational waves. Although this result showed no actual detection of gravitational waves, it still provides information about the pulsar and its structure. A perfectly spherical neutron star will not emit gravitational waves at all, but because the Crab Pulsar is relatively young, it was thought that it would be less symmetrical than most pulsars and therefore a good candidate for observations with LIGO. The researchers say that the lack of gravitational waves detected from the Crab Pulsar implies that any irregularities in its surface when it formed have now been smoothed out, making it very nearly spherical. And finally, almost 2 years after astronomers at the International Astronomical Union's General Assembly voted to demote Pluto from the class of a planet, a committee has finally named the new class of dwarf planet, of which Pluto is now a member. It was announced on the 11th of June that the new name, proposed by the IAU Committee on Small Body Nomenclature and accepted by the Working Group for Planetary System Nomenclature, had been approved by the IAU Executive Committee at a recent meeting in Norway. The new class is named the Plutoids, and they are defined as bodies in orbit around the Sun with a semi-major axis greater than that of Neptune, that have sufficient mass for the self-gravity to overcome rigid body forces, so that they assume a hydrostatic equilibrium shape and have not cleared the neighbourhood around their orbit. In short, this means objects about the size of Pluto, which are further away from the Sun than Neptune, and near spherical in shape. The two named Plutoids so far are Pluto and Eris. The asteroid Ceres, although of the correct size, is not a Plutoid because it is located between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, much closer to the Sun than Neptune.